Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my co-host, Chuck Ocelli. And if you're not familiar with Chuck and his work, you will be getting familiar with him. His website is ocelli.com. Good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Maria. Although, is it morning in America?
it's more like midnight. It's almost like 1 minute to midnight on the nuclear clock. That's my thought.
Yeah, well, and meanwhile, we're getting ready to turn the nuclear codes over to the new president-select, you know. And I can't get through the sentence with a straight face at this point, Maria. My, oh, my, isn't it interesting?
Interesting.
You keep hoping it's fake news, don't you?
Well, it sure looks like it's something off of, you know, Andy Borowitz's site. But unfortunately, it's not fake news. You know, I look at the news this morning, and I see that he ended up picking, you know, Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State, you know, who's got a big oil deal with Russia that can't go through because of Obama's sanctions. That'll end. Drilling in the Arctic is next on deck. And also picked Rick Perry for Department of Energy. When Rick Perry was running for president, he said he wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy, even though he couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I hate to concur with some people in the mainstream, but every once in a while, you know, what is that saying about the broken clock being right twice a day? The idea that they are actually appointing, and I say they because I can't imagine the Trumpster doing this all by himself. The idea that they are appointing people into cabinet positions that are completely counterintuitive to the cabinet itself is just amazing. And how it is that there is not a greater uproar just over that, I don't know.
I understand. I totally agree. But, you know, I think, and I said it on my show yesterday, that Trump supporters just wanted Trump to win because he's a star. And after he won, I don't think they're paying any attention anymore because they're not smart enough, okay? They're not going to be smart enough to say, well, what's he picking? What kind of laws is he putting through? They're still riding high on the our guy won, your guy lost, and this is why you're all upset and blaming it on Russia.
Right, totally removing the idea that, you know, that there's always, and here's what's amazing to me. Crying foul on either side of this alleged equation is ridiculous. We all know that on both sides, the deck is loaded, right? The deck is rigged. The game is rigged. The deck is stacked. I don't know. I'm losing track of my metaphors here. The fact is that we're not the players at the casinos. We are occasionally the chips, and we're watching them play.
Right.
When we're bothering to watch.
Right. Well, but the... The thing is, the more that he loads this swamp, he must have drained the swamp all right to find what was left even at the bottom of the swamp, the more you realize that, you know, many years ago, Chuck, when I first started, I did a lot of series with Robert Galen Ross, and I don't know whether you're familiar with his work, but at the time, what we covered in depth was the North American Union and right. The destruction of the United States from the inside out. And here it is, every pick, every day, all I can see, and one of the things I post a lot is USA RIP, is this will destroy every single plus that's ever been put in place in the past 100 years in this country with an in-your-face Goldman Sachs, Big Oil, Rothschild, and even in Henry Kissinger aid. I mean, now they're right out there in your face. Secretary of State is the CEO of ExxonMobil. You couldn't have made that up if you worked for Mad Magazine for 20 years.
Well, yeah, and then you got an attorney general who has a, well, let's just say questionable track record when it comes to being racially sensitive. How about that? You know, an asset investor for commerce. What are we doing here, right? Mad Dog Mattis for defense. Love that one. The guy who decides that white phosphorus is perfectly acceptable to use on Iraqis. Yeah, this is lovely.
Right. That killing is fun.
You know, and I'm laughing, but it's gallows humor at this point because there are still so many people that don't seem to want to wrap their minds around the fact that draining the swamp turned into swamping the drain. And this is exactly what happened. I love it. J.P. Satilli, who is a journalist, also we'll get into fake news. I might have to mention him again because of the list of fake news websites out there and stuff.
Right.
But he was the one who said to me, you know what, it's exactly swamp the drain. I think it's a great hashtag for people that love to use those kind of things. And that's exactly what's happening. You know, education secretary, all right, fine. We could argue about that. And are schools outside of the public schools a better idea for kids? And, you know, do we need this kind of crap anyway?
Right. But it's been proven that charter schools give you a worse education. And in order to put together a charter school, they drained the public education funds in the neighborhood because they tried to do that in my town last year. And everybody was shocked in a Republican town that everybody pushed that charter school out. No one wanted it here. So I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow, sometimes the people in my town actually surprise me.
Yeah, well, see, but at least that's the people deciding.
Right.
Right? So that's kind of one of those dicey issues, and you could look at it one way or another. But then when we take a look at the guy from Carl's Jr.'s and Hardee's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Putzer.
No, I don't want
Putzer.
Minimum wage for anybody, but that's all I employ, by the way. You know.
Right.
I want to make sure that we automate a lot of things. Yes, absolutely. And meanwhile, go pick up your burger that's probably going to kill you. You know, I love that. That's wonderful for, well, gee, the working folks, right?
Well, you know what's interesting? I don't know if you had time to hear yesterday's show, but this Putzer, and that's what I'm going to call him. I already have names for them, even Mnookin. I call him Munchkin. But Putzker has a sexual harassment policy in place for people that work at Carl's Jr. or Hardee's. And he was interviewed, I believe, on CNN. And the guy was saying to him, well, here you have a president you're supporting and willing to work for. Would you have fired him knowing what we know about, you know, grabbing by the pussy and all his sexual harassment and rape of women? And he just kept dodging the question. You know, oh, well, you know, I guess it depends on whether you can prove it or not, was kind of his answer.
Yeah, I wonder how the employees that have been punished for the same thing would report that in his restaurants because, look, that's also a dicey issue because sometimes, you know, the accusation is enough to absolutely destroy someone.
Right.
That has happened. It's something that must be very carefully considered. Now, meanwhile, remember, I'm not sitting here supporting sexual harassment. What I'm saying is that issues like that are extremely complex, and guys like this who don't want to face it, you know, because their boss is cool with it now, what does that say? You know, here we go.
Well, Chuck, as a Kennedy investigator, I was dying to ask you these questions. I know my next show with Jim Fetz is probably going to be extremely interesting because we totally disagree on Trump. But he, you know, he's taking the attitude, you know, wait and see. People, I can't even understand that people would say wait and see looking at this cabinet. But as a Kennedy investigator, now let's really look at this, all right? To me, some of the biggest things here are he's already got three military people on his cabinet, okay, which is pretty much almost against the law in this country because we don't want military rule. But a lot of writers are talking about the possibility of a military coup with these men in place. That's number one, and this is a loaded question. because of the issue with China and, of course, the issue with Russia and the fact that Trump doesn't want to have daily intelligence briefings, and he's also said the FBI and the CIA are wrong, and he's siding with Russia. Now, as a Kennedy investigator, do you remember the last time a president said something negative about the CIA?
You know, I sure do. However, saying something negative and being on the agenda or being in the right direction are two different things. A guy named John F. Kennedy certainly fought the agencies in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I am of the mind that Trump is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. I don't see them looking to remove him. I think the chaos that's going to be brought is intentionally planned. So I don't see him as a matter of fact, I think he's buying his life insurance with every one of these picks because he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Now, that may be a strange thought, and I have listened to some of your shows recently and actually had a bone to pick with you about this particular issue. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Sure, go ahead, pick away.
Okay, you said something about Dan Rather, and you kind of implied that because of Rather's recent statements, you know, maybe this would be the kind of guy who would get himself silenced, right?
Well, yeah. Let's hope he stays alive. Remember, he lost his job when he outed George Bush as being AWOL during his service.
But where are the roots of Dan Rather's career, really? He was the local reporter in Dallas for CBS.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that this guy was on board with, you know, just because he's seeming to present dissent doesn't mean that it's not scripted. Sometimes there's a thing called controlled opposition. And I think Rather is one of these guys. When it was time to absolutely smash every single thing regarding the Kennedy assassination that wasn't printed in the Warren Commission, when it was time to spread disinformation about it, his career was being made. You know, this is the guy who said that Kennedy's head went violently forward when he viewed the Zapruder film.
Right.
No, I didn't make a mistake. Violently forward. Mm. That's exactly what Dan Rather said on air after he viewed it moments earlier.
Right.
Okay. You know, so as far as his life being in danger, I doubt that one highly, Maria. And I've got to say, that was the first time I ever heard you make one of those assertions. And I went, no, I don't think
so. All
right,
well, I want to tell you another story. By the way, you do remember that it was Bill Moyers that went to LBJ pretty much with We Need a Cover-Up Story.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been trying to make that sin up ever since, you know what I mean? So every time I see something by Bill Moyer, that's all I remember. But now let's go back in time. After Dan Rather sold the official story, okay, you may not remember, but I remember, and God, it must have been, I want to say maybe the early 70s, okay, where they supposedly found Dan Rather out in the desert wandering, screaming, what the hell was he screaming over and over again? Something like, what is the coordinate? What is the coordinate? Something like that. And that was a story that, you know, at the time, he kept saying, here's what it was. Kenneth, what is the frequency? Okay.
Wow.
And I'm assuming they put him in a nut house after that for a while. I don't know, you know, I don't remember the particulars, but I sure as shit remember that story because every time Dan Rather's name comes up, I think about that like that guy in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I wondered if they had, you know, LSD'd him or tried to, you know, wipe his mind or who knows what, you know. But one day, if I have time, I'll try to Google that and see if that story's still anywhere out there. So, you know, you got to look at most of these people in the fake news, which is all you get on TV and the radio. Most of them are scripted. I mean, look how scripted 9/11 was.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I do vaguely recall that story. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they may have decided to cut the guy loose. They might have, you know, dosed him. Who knows what they do? You know, when they cut an asset loose, ask Saddam Hussein how that works out. You know, when they cut an asset loose, what happens to these guys, right? But he seems to have been back on script in recent years. you know, very much still supporting the old line and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting. I'll say this. I would certainly tune in for Dan Rather's deathbed confession, to find out what he really knew and what he was covering up purposely, knowingly throughout his life. I'd love to see that. Mm-hmm. But who knows? You know, I'm just saying that I don't see him as a dangerous news asset in any way, shape, or form.
Well, yeah, not anymore. I don't know that he ever was, to tell you the truth.
You're right.
It's interesting because before the show, both of us talked and we said we wanted to talk about Trump's picks. And what was also interesting is not only were our heads in the same place, but I get Ralph Nader's newsletter, you know, every time he puts one out, probably once a week. And that was his whole thing today. Trump trumpets his real plans. And I mean, he takes apart the picks so far, but he also says basically the same thing we said. You know, he's picking people who detest the parts, you know, the jobs he's giving them. And here's a little paragraph he says. If there's a superlative to the word nightmare, can the dictionary provide a description of his bizarre selection of men and women, marinated either in corporatism or militarism, with strains of racism, class cruelty, and ideological rigidity? Many of Trump's nominees lack an appreciation of the awesome responsibilities of public office, let alone the fact that none of them are experienced in what he's picking them for. I mean, doesn't that make you a little scared?
Well, you know, I feel so much better knowing that the Treasury Secretary is the same guy who financed Suicide Squad and Avatar. So I think we're going to be okay, Maria. I say this tongue firmly planted in cheek again. But, you know, it's amazing to me. And Ben Carson, well, let's, you know, we've forgotten about Ben, haven't we?
I didn't forget about him. He was the one that said when they asked him to be in the administration, he actually said he didn't have any experience in government and turned it down at first. This was a guy who was running for president, and now they put him in charge of housing and development, a man who hates his own race. It's so obvious.
Well, you know, and the thing they keep saying is, well, he grew up poor in Detroit, right? So he's going to understand what the HUD responsibilities are. It's just so incredible. I mean, how much further do we have to go, right? The Small Business Administration. I posted out on social media a picture of Rod Serling smoking and drinking, saying, where is he when we need him now? Because, you know...
Right.
Linda McMahon.
When we were kids, we used to say, where's Lee Harvey Oswald now that you really need him?
Oh, well, you know, but now we found out that we might have not needed him. The CIA did, but yeah.
Well, here's the other issue. You know, I think about Abraham Bolden, and I know you know him. I know you've interviewed him. And he talked about how the CIA pretty much detested in many ways and refused to do their job for Kennedy. So now here you have Trump openly siding with Russia against the CIA. To me, that's an extremely dangerous move.
Well, but then again, if it's part of the plan, right, this is the issue. And Abraham Bolden, really, the most fascinating thing about him was the Secret Service detail that detested Kennedy at the time.
Right.
So the people protecting him detested him. It's always dangerous. And, you know, to go back to the idea about the generals coming in, one of which would require a waiver to even take the post he's been appointed to, by the way.
Yeah, but from what I understand, they slipped that in a spending bill and waived it. And I haven't seen that story anywhere else, but I saw that story like 2 weeks ago.
I haven't seen that one yet, so I'm going to have to catch up.
All right, we'll look for it again. But listen, you know they're going to get in whoever he wants, and they're going to have these phony confirmations and back and forth, back and forth. But to me, you know, and obviously you and I aren't the only ones thinking this way, because, I mean, NATO goes into them one at a time and tears them all out a new one. You know, to put a climate change denier, Scott Pruitt, heading the EPA, this man who he has sued the EPA, and now they're going to put him in charge of it. I mean, doesn't anybody see anything odd about these picks?
Well, again, no, because Linda McMahon on the small business thing, people said, hey, she ran a multi-million dollar corporation. That was the immediate response I got. And it's like, yeah, it says small business. Read all the words. How about that?
Right. And she donated $7 million to Trump's super PAC. You know, $12 million of donors are now going to be on his team. And he was the one that talked about pay to play. Well, what could be more pay to play than this?
Well, exactly. And the counterintuitive, train doesn't stop, it seems, right? As we continue to swamp the drain, it's remarkable to me, though, that people don't seem to want to wrap their minds around this. That, you know, look, things are going to be better, they still say. And even people that are supposed to be in alternative circles are still on that script.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I just don't get it.
Neither do I.
And the thing that I really don't get, Chuck, is a lot of them who, you know, they seem to have been for a long time respected in the alternative news department, actually fell for the election division and defended either or candidate, knowing full well how many years they themselves have covered stolen elections. But they fell right into that trap, and there's like no digging them out.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I guess it's because we do live in this age where it is so difficult to decipher whether you're looking at fake news or real news. Everything is automatically either fictitious or real, depending on the source, and people don't want to examine these things and think objectively about what it is they're being presented. And that's it. You know, it gets down to, well, you know, this agency says that Russia did it. This agency says it didn't, but it's all a leaked report. It doesn't matter. You know, when you were talking about the generals coming into his cabinet, what it made me think of immediately, related to Kennedy directly too, is the old book, 7 Days in May. Now, you remember that one, right?
Yeah, vaguely. It's in my mix of Kennedy books in my head. I have to go surf that particular download in my brain.
Well, it's okay, because it wasn't really a Kennedy book. What happened is Kennedy read the book, and it's about a bunch of generals getting together in a military coup against the President of the United States.
Right.
Okay? Because they thought he wasn't acting, you know, in the most efficient way for American interests, so on and so forth. What's fascinating about that, Kennedy's tie to it, of course, is that when the book was going to be made into a film, Kennedy intentionally allowed the Oval Office, or actually the White House, to be utilized as an on-location filming set for the movie. All right. He was very interested in the idea, and of course, it's my opinion and the opinion of many others, even though we disagree on a lot of things, that JFK was removed as a result of a coup d'etat of sorts. Now, some people think it was the military more than the agency, et cetera, et cetera, and we could hash out the fine details all day.
Right.
But the truth is that the majority of us who have studied this in depth, you know, who are not trying to adhere to the party line, understand that there was a coalescence of a coup. Now,
well, people are saying this election has been a coup. It could be a Russian coup. It could be a coup by, you know, the people he's putting in office. It could be a military coup. It could be, you know, who the hell knows? I mean, the Electoral College could have thrown it.
Well, we have to rewind back into the Hegelian dialectic, because problem, reaction, solution. Let's not discount the problem. So in the dialectic, he is setting the problem in motion. That's all he is a catalyst to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the frightening thing to me, is what is the solution going to be? I mean, you can guess what the reactions are based on the pieces that are put in place here already.
Right.
But what is the solution to that going to be, that's going to be presented, that people are going to embrace? Because, you know, anything to get us out of this swamp is what they'll be screaming. What is going to be the prescribed solution that they already have in their back pockets? That's the only thing that does make me nervous at this point.
Well, you know, he's all for, you know, militarizing the police even more, putting so many military people on his cabinet, you know, end up with a total dictatorship where you're afraid to say anything against the Fuhrer. You look at Kellyanne Conway, who wants the FBI investigating anybody that protests Trump and wants to pass a bill that you can't say anything bad against Trump, which is interesting because once she started getting death threats, she didn't care for it. So you look at that and, yeah, you have to wonder, you know, is this what Galen Ross and I talked about years ago, where America would be destroyed from the inside?
Yeah, and I am somewhat familiar with Galen Ross, although I haven't taken a look at his work in many years. Mm. I would say that this is exactly what it looks like to me, is that this has been, you know, what do we call this, the controlled demolition, how about that, mm-hmm. of what remained of the American structure. I see it as nothing short of that. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, right? But because I can only report on what it is I'm observing here. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that creates a bit of a backlash. Right.
Man, if you say anything against, you know, somebody who's got their mind set up, they'll nail you to a cross today. You know, I mean, I found that out when I was on Richie Allen's show a couple of weeks ago. And it was a great show. And we talked about, you know, Pizzagate. And because I wasn't joining the bandwagon of it, everything is a, you know, a terrible conspiracy. And I was just saying, David Icke and I have been talking about these pedophile rings for decades. He's named these people by name in his books. No one paid attention to that. But when Michael Flynn and his son put out Pizzagate, all of a sudden everybody jumped on it. Chuck, I was torn to pieces. I was called every name in the books when he posted that video, even accused of being a Mossad agent. And I said, too bad I'm not, because I could use the money.
Yeah, right. Listen, so could I. I don't even want to tell you about half of the stuff that I got from making a statement, really, same time. And you and I don't coordinate these things, just for the listener's edification.
Right.
We just came to the same conclusion. And I said, you know what the real sad, sick part of this issue is? All of this energy and effort into something that doesn't seem to be well-founded, and nobody wants to talk about the fact that really, although these pedophile rings exist, nobody wants to talk about the ingrained abuse that people suffer constantly at the hands of family members, people locally, people who are in positions of power in your very towns. You know, mm-hmm. I say step outside of your door and throw a rock, and I guarantee you, you'll be able to hit somebody who's involved in some of this disgusting stuff. Not mm-hmm. necessarily the larger trafficking rings, although you may find those too.
Right.
But the fact is, I
posted a story yesterday. The police here in Mesa, Arizona, I think they arrested something like 10 men. Interesting, they were all white. For being pedophiles trying to make it with this 14-year-old girl, I guess, online. But it was a sting by the cops, and they busted, I think, like 10 of them. So, you know, you can even go on Google Maps now and put in, you know, where you live, and they'll show you how many child molesters or pedophiles are living in your neighborhood. Okay. So, you know, I remember years ago, you know, and even when I would talk to other parents, you know, protecting their children, I would tell them, do you know what the MO of a pedophile is? And they didn't have an answer. And I said, there isn't one. So it's not just some old, cripply old man like the perv on Family Guy, okay? There is no real description of a pedophile. It could be anybody and either sex.
That's true, although I got to tell you that most of what I've discovered is that it's men more than women. It's more prevalent among males, apparently. But the thing is,
and
I'm always
fair. Countries
scared.
That are saying pedophilia should be treated as a disease and not a criminal act. Other people that say, you know, having sex with children is a normal reaction for men. Now, if I was a man, I would be insulted by statements like that.
Oh, listen, I don't agree that it's normal or remotely acceptable. I'm just saying that what I've been able to observe over the years is that it is primarily a male issue, although it's not outside of the realm of possibility for female pedophiles to exist as well. The thing is, though, the larger issue is completely ignored while we're chasing after the fictitious story,
right,
which is there for purposes to keep us distracted from the real issues. And immediately, as soon as I started talking like this and just hashing it out with others on my show,
right,
you know, saying, listen, I got to be honest with you, and I made this report without, you know, without any shame at all. I said, I have not actually been close to a male friend who's an adult in the past, I don't know, 30 years without eventually discovering that at some point they had been victimized. And these are my male friends. Now women, of course, are a separate issue because they wind up being victimized as well. But I'm saying here is the unspoken truth, right? Men don't want to discuss this as men, that's for sure. And they don't want to face the reality that this stuff is literally everywhere. Yes, there are online rings. Yes, there are international rings of elites. But there are also your local demons. Okay.
Exactly. Your priests
and
your aunt.
We should be aware of all of it.
Uncle.
Is all I'm saying.
Right. Absolutely. Chuck, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Hell and high water. We'll be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet, and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Leah's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water with myself and my new co-host, my newest co-host, Chuck O'Chelly. He's not new to me. And yeah, I think of him as a son. And I don't think I can disagree with my son, and we don't have to kill each other over it. Chuck, we were talking about pedophilia. We were talking about Pizzagate. And yet here we have a pedophile who's the president, the minority elect president. He's got a rape case against him for raping a girl when she was 13 on Orgy Island, Jeffrey Epstein's place, which even Roger Stone admitted that Trump had visited, but he didn't partake. Only Bill Clinton did, which you know is bullshit. So we have a pedophile who, you know, has more than sexualized his own daughter, who had the hots for Paris Hilton when she was 12. He's got a rape case that's going to be retried now that this girl finally has an attorney, I believe, this month. So I don't understand, what were people making such a big deal about Pizzagate? They're probably the same people that voted for Trump, who's a woman abuser at the very least. Even his first wife, Ivanka, accused him of beating her and raping her forcefully. And he's got three men in his cabinet, very similar MOs. And yet you and I got demonized for questioning Pizzagate.
Well, you know, look, here's what this all comes down to as far as I'm concerned. The fact is that we should be concerned about all of this. The sentiment that people have regarding Pizzagate is correct.
Right.
Okay? You should be angry. You should be angry that people that are in vulnerable positions at any time are being abused. Okay? You should be upset that children are being injured. You should be upset that women are being injured. You should be upset.
Mm-hmm.
But get your facts straight, okay? It's not... Okay.
Look, Jack decided he wasn't going to publish anything. Poor Jack. And then he just couldn't take it anymore. So he did publish something about Pizzagate. And he basically said, one of my friends actually works there. Okay? None of that is happening there. None of that is true. And I immediately wrote on Jack's post, get ready to get your ass handed to you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because
now,
the second
that... you had a similar experience, didn't you? Didn't you have a friend that you knew that lived nearby or worked nearby?
Well, that's the thing, is I have somebody that I happen to know lives in that area who I'm not going to identify, thanks.
Right. Save
because,
his life. Save his
you know,
life.
No, right, you know, just because for their own protection. I said, look, you know, can you go down there and tell me, does this place look like they're telling me it looks like? Because, after all, they were talking about torture in a basement, and they were talking about, you know, different things going on, and look, rest assured, the imagery involved in some of this stuff is creepy. Right. There may be creepy people here, and they may very well be tied to something. I'm not saying that these are innocent individuals, but when we have torture going on in a basement in a building where I'm being told directly by somebody who can observe it themselves, okay, just an outside observer, mind you, not an insider, which is funny again because I love Jack and I love the fact that he knows people everywhere.
Right.
But, you know, so do I. So every once in a while I say, hey, listen, you're near this. Let me know what this actually looks like, and you'd be amazed what comes back from people. I'm being told there's no basement. What am I to do with that? You know, if part of the story is wrong, let's deconstruct it and let's get to the bottom of it, because after all, I don't want to let anyone who is involved in this kind of thing go unpunished, that's for sure.
Right.
But I also don't want to create the, you know, the villagers with the pitchforks in the virtual world.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I don't want to participate in unless I'm right.
Right.
Now, if I'm right, then we should deal with this, and we should deal with it in as appropriate a manner as is possible, okay?
Right.
But if you're turning false accusations against people, if you're demonizing individuals or businesses or places or groups of individuals, and you don't have your facts straight, you know, who's doing the damage here?
Exactly. Just being led by the nose, like sheep. Here's another distraction. Don't pay attention to the fact we just had a coup in your presidency. Don't pay attention to the fact that you're now under a full-fledged oligarchy and corporatocracy. But let's worry about this. Now, Chuck, how many years? I mean, for me, it's been forever. Have I been uncovering all the pedophilia in the Catholic Church? Okay, hundreds, thousands of cases, you know, where it's broken some of their banks, you know, protecting their priests, moving their dirty priests around. How come nobody got that upset over those stories when huge amounts of people getting, getting molested? And this Pizzagate one shined out so big. Could it be because of the Flynns, Mr. Daddy and Son, making it worse and telling people what they have to get excited about?
Well, again, if you have the money, okay, no matter what you want to put out there, whether it's, you know, the latest virtual game, or it's this nonsense, or it's some other piece of propaganda, if you have the money, you know, all of the infrastructure is in place, right, in order to do this, and this is exactly the business we find ourselves having to contend with.
Right.
If you want, you can propagate whatever you like. And I'm not saying that, you know, we should only listen to certain outlets or anything like that. Absolutely pay attention to what's trending. Pay attention to what's available, what people are talking about. But sometimes, just like anything else, people are talking a lot of nonsense. They're,
right,
you know, really talking out of their asses. And that's what's happening here.
Talking out of their asses is one of my favorite expressions. Maybe it's an Italian pass me down.
Hey, probably. But I could not believe the backlash received, by you and by me for simply questioning it.
Right.
And again, I'm sure that you would allow for the possibility that there are creepy people there that might be tied to God knows what. I mean, get a hold
right.
of their hard drives. You know, these guys could be who knows what, trafficking in what. Okay, I don't know, but I'm saying that just because they're creepy doesn't mean they're guilty. There's plenty of people that are just strange, too. And, you know, I'm one of them. So, you know, I don't consider myself creepy, but I am definitely not normal. And that doesn't necessarily mean you can decide that I'm a murderer because I get angry. Right. That doesn't mean that you can decide that that simply because I have spoken out against the government, that means I'm looking to overthrow it, does it?
Right.
You know, these are distinctions that we need to make regarding the facts,
right.
Okay? And you can examine these things for yourself. You don't have to trust the trends. You can follow them some. And it's a good idea to know at least what's on the minds of the other zombies walking around us here in
right.
the apocalypse.
All right. But, well, it's the apocalypse, all right. We're getting to cover it all the way to the last day.
Oh, and that is, you know, there we go, another agreement I now have with my biblical friends, let's call them. You know, it is starting to feel as though we may be heading into the last days. I mean, if Trump is not one of the signs of the apocalypse, I'm not sure what he is.
Right.
But,
well, you know, Jim Baker this morning said that Trump is either, get this, the reappearance of Jesus Christ or John the Baptist, the forerunner. So you got the evangelicals who truly see him as the Messiah. I posted there, by the way, John the Baptist was beheaded. Can we look forward to that? Because I know most people that are Christian never read the Bible, wouldn't even get that.
Right.
But there are people that are actually looking at him as the Messiah. And that's scary. That's scary as shit. Not so much that he isn't, but that people, that many people are out there that think that way.
Well, you know, again, I'll go to their narrative. At some point, the Antichrist himself, from my understanding, is supposed to appear as the man that the people cheer for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe they have the right book, but just the wrong character. And,
right.
You know, I don't know. It's just my guess. Again, this is not my field to play, but... But here we go. Who knows what this means? I mean, from all indications, though, as I said before, if we were looking at this as a 3D chess match,
right.
we're certainly seeing the pieces put into place.
And right in front
such
of our
a way.
Face, right. Right out in the open.
You got it.
Right in
you
your
got
face.
It, so.
David Icke put up a good meme this morning, because obviously he's watching this pick as much as everybody else is, at least people that have a brain in their head. And he said, well, there goes China and there goes Iran. Okay, and here's their plan, and David's always said their plan is World War III. Now, David's not a psychic, but David is aware of the writings and the position of, as I am, the Freemasons, the Protocols
right.
of Zion, Dominionism, you know, that they want to replace the Constitution with biblical law in this country. And you don't need to be a psychic to see what's going on. However... Having said that, because we have a little point of disagreement, so I'm just gonna put it out there. You know, I don't want to make a bet with you on it or anything. My senses is, and I want you to know, and some people may poo-poo this. Some of you have indeed gone in and watched that young astrologer that did, and you can see it too, Chuck, if you haven't. This kid's a rip and a half. He's an Italian kid from Queens, New York. His video on YouTube is called Trump's Health and Death. And he did the astrology on it. His astrology on Trump is sudden death or assassination. I've talked to some other people, astrologers, other, we'll say gifted people, okay? I don't like the word psychic. We'll call intuitives or people that see. And the majority agree that there will be an assassination. Now, I'm looking at it not just from, you know, spiritual eyes, because I know everybody poo-poos that. But I'm looking at it from history, and I'm looking at this as, number one, it's been a long time since we had an assassination. I believe the evangelicals want to get rid of Trump, whether they impeach him or what, because Pence is their guy, okay? You can't get a more rigid asshole than Pence.
That's true.
And he's already pissed off China. He's already pissing off Iran. He's pissed off a lot of veterans in this country. He's pissed off NATO. He's pissed off Mexico. when I'm looking at all of this, I get that same word about how hard it is to investigate JFK's murder because of obfuscation. Because there were so many players in Dallas that day to deliberately confuse investigators onto who actually did it. And I really think we're in for a whodunit, whether he gets impeached, whether they put him away, you know, because he's mentally unfit, or whether somebody blows him away. But it, to me, it'll be just as hard to figure out because of all his bluster as it was with Kennedy. And truthfully, I wouldn't even investigate it. To me, whoever did it, I'd be grateful. That's my thought. I'd be like, yay, that's over. And then maybe you think I'm a terrible person for saying that, but that's just the way I feel. This is the worst nightmare of my life, Chuck. Worse than when I saw what would happen when Bush became president. And he absolutely fulfilled every horror I saw, which is why I fought so hard against his presidency. This one's going to make that one look like a walk in the park.
Well, here is where we could both be very right. He could be offered up as a sacrifice in order to whip up the stupidity once again. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, the people that are still on board with thinking that this guy is a great savior will then be on board with any agenda attached to dealing with what happens to the fallout from his assassination, let's say.
Right. And a lot of writers have already written about that and said that it would be total chaos.
Well, see, but that's, remember, that's what I said in the first place about him, is that he is exactly the agent of chaos that they want. Now, what they do with him and how he gets utilized here, that's a question. Is it possible that he could be assassinated because he's standing up to the system? No. JFK was making speeches about peace and about abolishing war.
Right. And not giving anybody else nuclear weapons, especially not Israel. Donald Trump said he wants to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And when I saw today's Israeli news today, they actually showed the empty lot for the embassy should he move the embassy to Jerusalem. Now, if you really understand the Bible, which unfortunately I do because it was shoved down my throat for a good portion of my life, and this is what I tell all the fake Christians in this country that are so supportive of Israel. They don't understand that according to their own Bible, let's give it to Israel until we, the real people that own the Holy Land, go in and wipe them out and take it over.
Well, all you have to do is read the words, you see, because I've actually read their book, too.
I know.
But look, I had no choice. The thing is that, if you read the words of Christ, which people like to quote when they suit it, when it's suited to their purposes. The thing is that, if I remember correctly, there was a point at which he says that the old law is gone and the old covenant is removed and the new covenant is this way. Mm-hmm. Which to me means that, hey, the land contract kind of goes with it. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my interpretation.
When he said that, the rabbis turned against him. His own people offered him up to Pontius Pilate because they didn't want to change the law. When he threw the money changes out of the temple and the people selling animals, they didn't want that changed. And when Christ tried to say to them, I'm the greater Moses, I'm the person you've been waiting for, they couldn't wait to get him murdered. This kind of sounds like today.
Exactly the point I was going to, which is just so happens that right after he does that, this is when it's time to what? Crucify him. Right. despite the fact that they could have crucified another guy who was clearly a problem and all of that kind of stuff. No, he gets offered up to the authorities. So here's the thing, though. I don't want to go too deeply into that because, Donald Trump is obviously not Christ.
I hope he ends up like John the Baptist. That'd be okay with me.
Well, you know, maybe, but then again, do we want this guy to be a martyr? I don't encourage the idea that he should get the martyrdom, because I think it would be even more dangerous. He'd be even more dangerous as a martyr to the people that actually believe in him.
Well, you know, people that knew the truth about Kennedy, that we did make him a martyr of sorts. And then, of course, the press, it wasn't enough for the murderers to assassinate the body. They had to assassinate his character.
And that's exactly why they've done it, though, because they've learned from that mistake that, you know, the problem is that, and again, not a perfect guy, not Jesus Christ incarnate or anything like that, but they have gone on for decades now assassinating his character, making up stories, embellishing, you know, in order to remove that that strength of martyrdom from Kennedy. Now, when you take a look at this, even though it's an uneducated way to look at it, the fact is that if Trump were to be taken out, he is a martyr for those people who still believe in him.
Right.
I mean, the whole thing just, I don't know. I'm feeling like I need to take a shower now, Maria. I don't know.
I know how you feel. It's like, oh, my God. You know, yesterday's news show, hour and a half. And you know how fast I talk, Chuck. And it's like, you know, I keep trying so hard to reduce my workload. And this son of a bitch is going to triple it because he never shuts up. He never stops tweeting. He's bringing down, you know, major companies just with a single tweet. Who knows who's making money on that? And I can barely keep up. And these picks, I mean, it's enough work for 10 people to do. Do you know what I mean? And I know this is how it's going to be for, you know, I'm not going to say the next 4 years. Even though Trump keeps referring to the next 8 years, I'm like, wow, what drug is he on? Number one, chances of him still being alive in 8 years are next to nil. The fact that he might not even be alive or in office, I'm going to say, let's take a look at 1 year and see what happens. Because you asked, what's the solution? You know, and here I am. I'm going to say it like a pagan patriot. The Declaration of Independence gives us the solution. Okay, we have the right, when our government no longer serves us, which is why we have the Second Amendment, to overthrow our government. And that doesn't mean it has to be a violent overthrow. Thomas Jefferson said, in order to keep our republic, we'd have to have a bloody revolution every 25 years. I'd say we're long overdue.
Well, and you know, I might actually be completely on board with that when we see President Pence in office.
Right.
You know what you just did to me to say that?
Yeah, we used to have an expression in New York. We'd say so many men, so few bullets. But
yeah,
you look at that guy, and I gotta tell you, there's a Pence lookalike. I think this man is in Florida, and he does look like Pence, except he's actually a little better looking, and he's gay. So he's going along collecting money for these, you know, protection groups for the LGBT community, and everybody thinks he's Mike Pence. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Right, but you look at that schmuck, you know, he goes to the play, he sees real New Yorkers. Real New Yorkers know the score, okay? And that's just the way it is. New Yorkers right now are so pissed off that Trump is in New York, messing up everything from their businesses to traffic. Cost them already $35 million to protect his wife, who doesn't want to live in the White House. She thinks she's too good for it. He goes to a play in New York, and it was very well done the way they spoke to Pence in the audience. And Pence seemed to have swallowed it okay, even though he was running out to save his ass. And then Trump had to get on Twitter like the big baby he is and make a big deal. He's going to keep the theater safe, you know? And somebody made a cute post of Lincoln saying, oh, so you had a bad time at the theater? Which I thought
That's
was
funny.
Kind of sick and cute at the same time. But here you have a big baby who's going to tweet out all this crazy stuff, and he has no intentions of stopping. And it's inflaming so many people around the world. I mean, how is this even allowed? I remember when Obama took office, he was sad that he had to give up his iPhone.
Yeah, it is amazing. And of course, I try and get people to consider this all the time. International diplomacy, although we mock a lot of the people that participate in it, it is not a simple game of checkers,
right?
You know, thinking back to, again, Kennedy, the use of the word quarantine as opposed to blockade, all right? That simple change of terminology completely changed the trajectory of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
All right. Now, that was carefully considered. That was done by, you know, and you could argue with Kennedy about how he handled things and whatever else, but there was consideration there. What consideration are we going to be able to have? What filter are we going to be able to have with a guy who is not going to stop tweeting whatever the hell is on his mind?
He has no filter. He has no filter. And, you know, for my listeners, if you've never seen the movie 13 Days, by all means, rent it. Because that movie really, I'm sure you remember it, Chuck, it clearly depicts what he and Bobby went through during that Cuban Missile Crisis. Trying to figure out what way, how do we stop the world from having a nuclear war right now?
Well, and that's the truth.
This idiot is liable to just say, hey, I'm going to nuke China right now. I don't like what they said about the color of my skin, you know, Orange Gina. So,
well, or maybe, you know, or maybe some other fill in the country's name place ought to remember that we have the bombs that can wipe them off the map or something like that, which he may just say out of frustration, you know, much like he says, let's deal with these journalists and open up the libel laws and go after journalists and things like that, which also, by the way, makes me nervous, you know. And here we go again. Now, it is interesting that he's got a guy like Roger Stone in his ear. Don't forget about that guy, Maria.
Yeah, that guy will never be on my show again. I'm sorry that I had him on my show in the first place. And today he put out an article saying the only reason he had Romney come visit him so many times was to make a fool out of him, deliberately.
Yeah. Yeah. So posturing and, you know, machismo, if you will, is the order of the day with this guy, regardless of the, you know, the fallout, regardless of the results. You know, you're telling me that this guy is going to consider the multi-layered communications across the planet. He didn't even think about the possibility that there was a bit of a tentative situation between Taiwan and China, but he wants to talk about China all the time and how he's going to bring back jobs and, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
His stuff is made in China. His daughter's stuff is made overseas. What about bringing those jobs back? He's such a hypocrite. I don't know how anybody can support or believe anything he says.
Well, you know, if you're Carrier, I guess you can believe stuff he says, because he makes sure that you get, what, $7 million in tax breaks in order to save a handful of jobs. So, you know, hey, benefit to the corporate raiders, which is, again, another theme here. Once again, Maria, I hate to quote a movie, but let's go for it. Greed is good, apparently. So, you know, it all works out, doesn't it?
Right, or idiocracy is more like it. That's the way I see it.
Well, President Camacho in 2020, I'm voting on that particular day if President Camacho shows up, yes.
Well, Chuck, that pretty much wraps up our show today. I want to thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to the next one we do.
Well, hopefully we won't have to continue talking about swamping the drain.
No, well, I'm sure I'll have a few more insulting picks. But we'll get through it. And hopefully, maybe some miracle will happen and the inauguration won't happen.
You know, who knows? But then again, what would that mean, right? What will the solution be to the problem and the reaction? So I say stay tuned, stay alert, and, you know, look, don't forget that the devil is really in the details.
Okay? That's for sure. That's for sure. Take care, Chuck. We'll talk soon. Chuck Ocelli, check out his work at ocelli.com. And thanks for listening to the show. And listen, you can make up your own mind. You don't have to agree with us, but just do the homework. Just really dig deep into what's actually happening out there instead of the stories they want you to get all involved in. And again, thanks for listening and supporting our shows. I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.